website. Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for your testimony, Mr. Finkelstein, and I would like to think that we're all working for the best interests of all the Alaskans on this issue, particularly. I have to admit that, you know, I might have been one of those who was somewhat confused with the registration language and whether it was mandatory or not mandatory. But and we heard the comments both from Mr. Smith and from Chief of Police kind of requesting that the legislature look at this as a mandatory requirement for registration. But if I hear you correctly, you're saying that if people choose not to register, then basically they are exposing themselves, if you will, or essentially there's no protection from arrest. And so if they're going to be a patient or a primary caregiver in order to make sure that they're not going to be subject to arrest, they go ahead and register. And essentially law enforcement should assume that if they are not registered that they should just go ahead and arrest first and ask questions later.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. The answer is yes. In fact, I learned enough today that I think I'm going to be in Juneau next week to try to schedule a meeting with Mr. Smith because he brought up some concerns too that I hadn't had a chance to consider. I'd like to talk to him more about the just to note the reasoning behind it, and the reason no other state has mandatory registration is many of these patients, for instance, AIDS patients, who are an important beneficiary of this law, they won't register with the state. They just won't do it. And I've talked to dozens of people in that circumstance. So we tried to set up a system where we encourage people to register with the state. I tell everyone, every patient that I talk to, I say, you should register with the state. There's no reason not to register with the state. The system is a simple one. It's your only protection. The provision that provides the other protection is called the first one is, I think, it is all in 010 of the law. 030, which is what happens to a patient who doesn't have an ID card, they have what's called a privileged medical use of marijuana. All they have is the right to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that they meet the conditions, and these only occur at a later point. It's sort of a fallback for someone in that particular circumstance, but the practical side of it is the patients who will be in that circumstance are the ones who are less worried about arrest for whatever reason, or they're, you know, someone who isn't willing to disclose. These folks are generally not going to be out there in a circumstance where they're going to get arrested. They're going to be in their home, and you're not going to see this provision come into play. It just provides them though with the fallback protection that they could make their case in court, but it's up to them to prove their case.
Anything further?
No, thank you.
David, I had to step out for a minute. I understand that you, the organization that down in California somewhere that materially helped out your efforts here, are they lobbying for change to the federal law?
Yes, the group is Americans for Medical Rights. They're joining in the effort that the district attorney described. I believe the attorney general, just from reading press clippings, has already been to Washington, D.C., making the case for the rescheduling. It would take a whole bunch of states off of the hot seat, and not just states with existing laws. There's plenty of states now where it's being debated whether to pass one. And those situations will be resolved in a uniform way. There's not a logical way to deal with medical marijuana without a federal solution. And the answer I gave over and over again during the campaign on how people are going to get marijuana if they, you know, want to grow it or if they want access to it is that solution remains with the federal government. And when and if that step is taken, and we do believe it will occur reasonably soon, this issue will be gone.
David, are you still have an official relationship with Alaskans for Medical Rights?
Yes, I work on it all the time. I was on a
And are you still being paid to do so?
Just to note, I feel a sense of propriety about the initiative I worked so hard on, so I'm trying very hard in the context of proposed legislation or regulations to participate in what goes on.
And are you still being remunerated for that?
I have been paid at times, and most of the time, of late, I've been a volunteer. It depends on how fundraising goes. But generally speaking, all my expenses get paid, and my time is usually volunteer, but occasionally paid. We do have a lobbyist that we've paid, too, although she's obviously donating most of her time because of the small fee we could pay.
Right. I notice in that you are supporting Senator Lehman's desire to make sure that the caregivers hadn't been busted on a drug bust before. Is that correct?
That's the proposal that he has advanced, which I think was advanced by as well by some of the people in law enforcement. Seem to be a reasonable way to make sure that the wrong people don't get involved for the wrong purposes.
Yeah, I'm sure Representative or Senator Lehman appreciates your support on that portion of his efforts. What are all are you guys? Well, I have here in my notes that the Alaska Board of Optometry believes that marijuana is not indicated and perhaps counterindicated for the treatment of glaucoma. And I believe that you all were thinking that that was one of the valid diseases to be treated with marijuana. Are you open to reevaluating that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we believe the language in the initiative and in the new law is going to be sufficient for achieving the purpose of keeping the proper patients in. The New Technology Institute of Medicine report that just came out dwarfs anything done in, or dwarfs anything ever done in terms of its comprehensive nature. And while they did endorse the value of it for a variety of conditions, subject to its limitations and its other hazards, they did not find that it was particularly useful in glaucoma treatment. That was new news. That was a change of what was the medical landscape on that. And I think you'll find, because of that, not many doctors making a recommendation for glaucoma. It wouldn't serve a patient's needs.
Yeah, and I appreciate this, Representative Dyson, again. The Karen from Sununu from California seemed to indicate that they have some enthusiastic doctors in California who are probably pushing the bounds of strictly medical propriety in their enthusiasm for legalizing marijuana for medical purposes. And I have a concern that we might have a somewhat rogue and enthusiastic doctor here who would be over-prescribing beyond what medical or what's accepted within the trade or the profession is acceptable. Can you foresee a way that we could, in questionable cases like that we could submit that to a peer review in the medical community?
Well, Mr. Chairman, we debated that when we were putting together this, and the conclusion we reached is there's a statute already that we'd be duplicating, and that statute is AS0864101. And some associated statutes, which are what set up the medical board. The medical board has a procedure where any person can put in a complaint, and that complaint could come from the department based on the information they're seeing on recommendations. For instance, inappropriate ones, or you know, some pattern emerging in what they're seeing on the confidential registry. And based on that, there could be an investigation, and the sanctions that are available to the board, I believe, include a variety of punishments, probation, or even elimination of a doctor's license.
Yeah, thank you. And to pursue that line a little further, then if somebody gets arrested and they're using as their defense that indeed this was prescribed, and it ends up before a judge, and the prosecution is saying this judge is over-prescribing, and then you're saying that that judge would then ask the state medical board for a ruling on the propriety of that recommendation from the police or from the doc, and then that evidence could be used in the court as well as by the medical board to proceed against that person's license?
Well, Mr. Chairman, no. There isn't a penalty against the patient. I mean, the patient may have been the first person the doctor saw. We shouldn't be punishing the patient for what the doctor is doing. The process is a separate one set up through the Division of Occupational Licensing, and it's an administrative process, not a judicial one, and it's initiated by a complaint. But that complaint could come based on evidence that appeared in the registry. It would be about a pattern, though, of them. Or I guess it could be about an individual one. Someone could, if there was a case as you described, someone could, any person could, take evidence that emerged, and if they felt that it was a abuse of the law, they could turn it in. It isn't any different, though, than what one would do for doctors misrecommending other drugs, including narcotics. In fact, one of the doctors who support us made a point of describing in a forum that the bigger issues on doctors misprescribing things and the way doctors make money is on steroids. Doctors can get rich misprescribing steroids. There's a black market that's huge. And certain groups of athletes will pay hundreds of dollars for these prescriptions. And so we didn't want to set up a separate system. There's already a way to try to deal with those kind of abuses. And we want to stick with the existing system.
I appreciate that. Any other questions from the committee?
Yeah.
Representative Coghill.
Hi, David. This is John Coghill. Since you've been involved with the group called Alaskans for Medical Rights, marijuana being a controlled substance, and trying to turn this over to where it becomes a medicinal use, what have you folks been doing with regard to research to show the chemical or herbal value of that, and is there any reports that this committee needs to be privy to?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Coghill, the best is, I mean, there's a huge amount of information, and we don't, of course, generate any of it, but we are out trying to get our hands on whatever exists. But as I mentioned before, most of it was dwarfed by the new study out only because it's a huge study. It has a lot of background material. The thing that's most easily available, and it'd be useful, I suggest, for committee members, is the executive summary, which in itself is 20 or 30 pages. And it's pretty much a complete review of where the medical community thinks we're at this subject. And it has, you know, points on our side, points on, you know, on the side of our opponents. But it, I think, at least makes the bottom line that there are patients out there who do get benefits. There's some downsides as well, and we need to figure out some long-term solution. Their ultimate conclusion is that some other delivery system other than smoking it needs to be developed. Yes, I agree, actually, what ought to occur, if enough money was put into it and it was something that, you know, drug companies could pursue, I expect it would happen. An example would be the inhaler devices that people with asthma use, thereby trying to avoid some of the detrimental effects of smoking it.
Any further questions, Mr. Coghill?
Thank you. Maybe a comment, because I suppose it would be good to ask for you to send us a copy of that if you could get your hands on it or tell us how to get our hands on it. But in Alaska, we now are faced with a dilemma of labeling or packaging something that is supposed to be medicinal but is forbidden to be used from the pharmaceutical side and cannot be described even by those who are prescribing it, let alone those who are trying to control it. We find ourselves in a real dilemma there. And one of the things we need to do as policymakers is to have the input from the medical community in Alaska, if there's any way that we can tell what that really is. And have you got any description for us?
I'm not, Mr. Chairman, Representative Cobb, I'm not sure I completely understand. There isn't much in Alaska among the medical community on, you know, the research end of it. I mean, it's all occurring nationally. And actually, before I forget, I can give you the website. I'd be glad to provide you a copy, too, but it would be a fax of a fax, and you could do better than that. For anyone who is on the website, one of the websites where you can get a copy of the executive summary printout is medmjscience.org. But if you have any problem at all, just call my number, and I will deliver you a copy.
Anything further, Mr. Coggle?
No, sir. Thank you.
David, I'm hearkening back to earlier part of your testimony. Some medical experts have said that AIDS, HIV, is in some ways the most privileged disease that we've encountered in North America. And there certainly has, because of the former position that many folks thought that the disease was largely confined to one cultural subgroup, there was some stigma with it. I think most of us think that stigma is gone away in light of the large parts of the population that are affected. Regardless, you all came to the decision that compulsory registration wouldn't work because some people would be reluctant to sign up because of being stigmatized. I may be mispronouncing there. And in your sensitivity to their not wanting to have that stigma, you stop short of the compulsory registration, which would have been a great help to law enforcement. Is there any retreat from your position on that?
I would just call it anything that can be done that is embellishment or additional details or, you know, clarifications. I think all those things we're happy to work on. And our position is only that we ought to give this law a chance to work. If it turns out that the registration system is put into place, the regulations are in place, this all should occur by the summer, if the experience becomes that there is a problem, that if my view of the world, if I'm not able to convince people of how they ought to treat this system and something else occurs, new problems occur, our commitment is we'll be back over the interim and prior to next year we'll be back doing all we can to come up with something. We still may be arguing with Senator Lehman and others about what's right and what's wrong, but we won't be opposing the passage of a legislation. We'll just be arguing about what should be in that legislation. And in terms of the question of mandatory registration, it actually never occurred to us to have mandatory registration as you're describing because, as I say, it hadn't existed anywhere. We thought that ours was the first to pass that was a registration system of any kind. The previous initiatives that occurred in Arizona and California didn't have any registration. And it's almost a matter of how you describe it because I could describe it as mandatory registration. To receive the full protection of the law, it's mandatory that you register with the state of Alaska. If you want to go and, you know, just defend yourself in court on the subject, you can choose the other alternative, but it's not recommended. And hopefully what you say about, you know, AIDS patients and others is that they may eventually, sign up because of that.
All right. Did the Alaskans for Medical Rights, have you all had a newsletter or something going in Alaska?
No, we have just a list of supporters, and we send out updates
Sure. I guess I personally have been, Ms. Dyson, a little miffed, if not offended, at the viciousness of the attacks on Senator Lehman. And there's such a common thread to them that I'm hoping to not find that you all have been orchestrating that with your updates. Can you give me any comfort on that?
Well, Mr. Chairman, of course we're encouraging people. Every interest group that, you know, lobbies, I think the list is 8 pages long now of the people who are lobbying the legislature, and every one of them encourages its supporters to send in messages to the legislature. You're always the target, and that's the nature of the, you know, of the lobbying process, is to try to get people who agree on your side to send their views into the legislature.
Yeah, and I endorse that process and in many cases welcome it. I was particularly speaking to what I consider to be a somewhat vicious attacks that kind of are getting more personal and avoiding the issues. Anyways.
Well, Mr. Chair, if I could address that, I appreciate your point. If I certainly will, you know, keep that in mind and scale back anything I have anything to do with in an appropriate manner. I do know there are loads of individuals in the state, including patients, who are very exercised on the subject, and I don't have any ability to influence them. I will, though, particularly in regards to the sponsor and the other body, you know, be doing my best to work with him. And just so you understand our position, we tried very hard on this initiative. There were hundreds and hundreds of people who put in a huge amount of time, made donations, made a big effort, and we felt a little left out when the only people who played a role in developing that legislation were the people who were on the minority view, that no one even tried to include us whatsoever. And our message is we will work with people. Our message isn't, you know. I mean, I certainly have tried to do my best to work with people.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. It appears to me from your APOC reports that something over $100,000 came in to the campaign from outside?
At least 120, I believe.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you for your participation. Any more? Representative Murkowski has a question.
Just a very quick question. Mr. Finkelstein, you mentioned that neither California nor Arizona had mandatory registration, so we didn't have anyone to look to. There were four other states that had initiatives similar to Alaska's in the November election. Did any of those others require? I know that most of them had a registration process. Were they all optional, or were some of them mandatory, to your knowledge?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Representative Murkowski. Some had optional registration. Some had no registration, but none had mandatory registration.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions?
Again, it's just how you describe it. They don't get full protection in those optional registrations unless they do register.
Any other questions? Have any questions for Mr. Finkelstein, David? Representative Morgan?
No.
All right. Thank you, David. Thank you for all the folks who participated. And I'm sure we'll hear more on this. And it's been a useful discussion for me. Our House Hess is adjourned.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
We'll be back here Saturday if you want to join us.
On
this?
No. I had a compelling thing to say, I would have been waving my hand. I just want you to know we're here just in case you were feeling bad.
I appreciate that, and I was the one that specifically asked that because I wish I would have been in. I don't know who's who around here.
Right, I don't think we've ever met. And I didn't have the board to take a position.
Well, all we wanted to do is ask questions on how, in occupational situations, this is going to hinder those who...